Hazard Audio. Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is going to be a home run. I just know it because I can see into the future.
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can get us every single week right here on podbean.com or on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a nice review. It helps us out a ton when you do that. Hit us up on Twitter, at The Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys. We try to respond to every single tweet we get, so hit us up there. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service, our studio band, and you can get all of their music on iTunes and Spotify. As always, we're produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
It's been a big week for sports news, Matt. Let's start with the biggest story. FIFA is corrupt as hell.
It might surprise you just how deep the corruption goes and just how long it's been going on. I mean, this investigation, as you've probably heard, 14 members of the governing body of FIFA were just indicted on charges of wire fraud, racketeering, and money laundering. And these infractions have been going on for 24 years.
And the investigation's been going on for 24 years. What took so long? I don't get it. The interesting thing to me is that the United States is leading the charge on this. Who has the most to gain from this? The United States does. It's been kind of obvious in the last 15 years or so. FIFA doesn't want to acknowledge the progress the United States is making in the soccer world on the global stage, both in skill and promotion and popularity of the sport. But a handful of the officials who were arrested are also Americans. So it's kind of a little bit of positive and negative for the U.S. here.
It can't be understated that the United States is unhappy with FIFA for their failure to recognize the U.S. But as I understand it, the main reason that the U.S. is leading the charge here is because the money laundering and the bribes were carried out in the United States.
Right. Listen to any of the internationals who are defending FIFA here. They say that those things are just kind of an excuse for the U.S. to lead the charge, which, I mean, if you look at it from that standpoint, I guess there's a little bit of a point there, but I agree with you.
I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah.
Why else wouldn't anybody else? Like, every world government that's involved in this seems to have known what was going on. So if they're mad at the U.S. for taking charge, why didn't anybody else?
The fact that you say that every governing body in the world knew about this really raises questions about how Sepp Blatter came out of this unscathed, just saying, I knew nothing about this. Are you kidding me? There's no way.
Right, and then he just won his re-election. Yeah, I agree. There's no way he didn't know about this. He just covered his tracks really well. I think that's really the only conclusion that I can reach.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a mafia boss who's just untouchable. All the lieutenants under him are getting arrested, and he's just sitting at the top like, I didn't know. I didn't tell him to do that.
That seems to be the result of a more recent approach, because the president of FIFA before Sepp Blatter was one of the people indicted.
Right, and FIFA's only had 3 presidents over the last 50 years, which is astounding. It really shows how deep the corruption goes here, because a lot of the votes that Sepp Blatter got were from Africa and Asia, less fortunate countries. You really start to see the pattern of why he's getting votes from those places. His opponent, Prince Ali from Jordan, was getting votes from the United States and the UK and a lot of the wealthier nations. So you start to see really where this money is going and, you know, why Sepp Blatter was able to escape a lot of this.
And one thing that I think is interesting, too, is in the election, you have to get a 2/3 vote. And Sepp Blatter was leading significantly on the first runoff, but he did not get the 2/3 vote necessary. Then the runner-up actually withdrew himself from the race rather than going through another round of voting. I wonder, is that because he knew he wasn't going to win, or was there some more corruption and was he bought out?
I guess that's a fair question, but I think it's just he knew he wasn't going to win. Sepp Blatter was only like 7 votes shy of 2/3 in the first one. So that's FIFA. It's really corrupt. It's not really anything new, but now it's on a huge stage. We'll keep you guys updated as this continues. But right now, let's go to some lighter-hearted matters. Johnny Five, Tweet Zone, let's do it.
Tweet Zone, hit the tweets.
Alrighty, let's get going right here, right now on the Tweet Zone. First one's coming up from @Steven83M. The Belmont Stakes is a week away. Will American Pharoah end the 36-year drought of the Triple Crown winner?
I think so. I think he's going to. The Belmont is the one that trips up a lot of the Triple Crown hopefuls because it's a little bit longer race and it's just different for a horse to run the Belmont than it is for the first two races. But if you look at American Pharoah's first two races, he seemed to be pulling away at the end. And I think he just gets stronger as the race goes on. So I'm looking for him to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I don't really have a good reason for that other than it's so rare. It hasn't been done in 36 years. I just would be surprised to see it happen this year, even if he is the best racer out there.
So Steven actually took into account, you know, the possibility of your reaction, Matt, and he had a part two to this question to which he said, if American Pharoah does not break the drought, there's always talk of the format. Should it be changed or just leave it alone?
I don't think you should change it just to make it easier to win something that's supposed to be rare and it's supposed to be difficult. Kind of defeats the purpose of, like, how big of an achievement the Triple Crown is.
I mean, why? Why should they change it? I don't get it. I don't understand the obsession with the Triple Crown anyway. Like, a horse wins three big races. Okay, like, I don't understand why it's such a big deal for the American public. People celebrate it like their team just won the Super Bowl or something, and I don't get it. It doesn't do much for me, really.
Alrighty, and of course, Sports Appeal is on Facebook. You can find us very simply, Sports Appeal. Marco did that, and he reached us, and he had this to say to us. Rumor is, the Clippers are going to pay DeAndre Jordan max money. Is he worth it?
No, I'm not paying DeAndre Jordan max money. He has some huge holes in his game. He's very limited offensively. The whole free throw shooting thing, he's terrible shooting free throws, and teams take advantage of that. He's great defensively. He gets a lot of blocks. He gets a lot of rebounds. But if I'm going to pay a one-sided player max money, it's going to be an offensive player, not DeAndre Jordan.
I'm sorry, Steve. That's just wrong. DeAndre Jordan is one of the 30 best players in the league.
What?
So here's the way I look at giving a player max money. Each team can comfortably offer, for the most part, at least one max deal. If someone's one of the top 30 players in the league, you have to give them max money. Now, you said that he's mostly a defensive player. Well, player efficiency rating, which granted has its flaws, but one of the main flaws is it focuses almost entirely on offensive achievements. This past season, DeAndre Jordan was ranked 28th in the league in player efficiency rating. So even based on offensive calculations, he's one of the 30 best players in the league. So when you factor in defense as well, I think you got to rank him higher than that, or at least that high. He's still within the top 30, so you have to give him max money.
The Clippers already have two max players, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. If you're going to pay a third one, you need somebody else who can score. DeAndre Jordan only averages 11 points per game. He's not a max contract player. He isn't. He's going to get max contract dollars, because if you want him on your team, you're going to have to pay him that. But I don't think he's worth it. I don't.
Okay. You might be right that the Clippers shouldn't pay him max money, because when you've got three players on max deals, you're really hamstringing yourself in terms of the depth you can bring in. And one thing that we've really seen this year, especially with Golden State, is that depth kills. So I think you're probably right that it would be bad for the Clippers to sign him to a max deal, but I completely disagree. I say he is worth a max deal. And the things that he can do defensively and within his limited game offensively, he's very good. So he's worth max money to me. And he's going to get it, and he's going to deserve it.
Alrighty. We've got an original Sports Appeal tweet that we issued, to which we will read the response. So the original tweet was, the only person hotter than Bryce Harper over the last month is the Human Torch. To which Fred G. replied, what about Jason Kipnis?
Yeah, you know, when we saw this tweet, I was like, who the hell is Jason Kipnis? I mean, I've heard of the guy, but like, I had no idea. Floored when I looked at his stats. Now, his overall batting average on the season is .345, which is great. The crazy thing is, in April, he only hit .218, which means that in May, he's hit .445, on base percentage of .531, slugging .727. His entire slash line, he more than doubled it from April to May.
Yeah, I mean, I'm dumbfounded by this. I don't know how he's been flying under the radar like this. All the coverage has been about Bryce Harper, maybe just because he has a big name, or his power numbers are way better than Kipnis. But the May that Kipnis had is unbelievable. I haven't seen numbers like this in a really long time.
Right, and I think Bryce Harper's been a super hyped prospect and then player his entire career.
Yeah.
And now he's transcending into a legitimate superstar. A big part of that, too, is the home run numbers. Bryce Harper is just hitting the cover off the ball. In fact, in the month of May, he has 13 home runs. Jason Kipnis only has 4. Now, he is a second baseman, so you're stoked to get 4 home runs in a month out of a second baseman, but the overall numbers are just staggering.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bryce Harper is only 22 years old. Jason Kipnis, I think, is like 27. But it'll be interesting to see if he can keep this up. I have my doubts, But if he does, he's going to be in for a big payday.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Bryce Harper is going to quite keep up what he's doing either.
Right.
But I do think he is now a legitimate superstar and will continue putting up numbers that are very impressive.
It certainly looks like Bryce Harper has made the jump. I guess we'll see if Jason Kipnis has.
That wraps up the Tweet Zone. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the NHL Finals. And we've got a brand new segment for you called Quick Hits.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. Hit us up on Twitter. If you have questions, comments that you want us to answer or respond to, send us a tweet and we'll get you on the show. Right now, we're going to do a brand new segment called Quick Hits. We're going to have Johnny Five fire some questions at us. We each have just a few seconds to answer. Johnny, take it away.
Adrian Peterson went Twitter crazy. Is he right?
Yeah, I think he actually makes some really good points. So Adrian Peterson is frustrated that teams can offer guys non-guaranteed contracts and can just cut bait and leave, whereas the players don't have the ability to do that. He makes some good points. Now, at the same time, that's really the case in a lot of contract-based employment, where the company holds all the leverage, and that's just what you sign up for in a lot of professional realms. But the other thing is, he has to understand that if you're going to fully guarantee contracts, the amount of total dollars that players can get will be lower.
That's very true. This is the CBA that the NFL players agreed to. Peterson signed his contract just a couple months after the CBA was agreed to, so he knew what he was getting himself into. I don't think he really has a lot of room to talk. People hate it when athletes complain about how much money they're making or not making, because they're making millions of dollars to play a game. It just doesn't look good for them. I think it was not a good move for him at all. He has some good points, but you got to be quiet about this.
He's already into the non-guaranteed portion of his contract.
Sure.
But the team is keeping him on and still paying him this non-guaranteed part of the salary, even though they could cut him if they wanted to. And he's certainly given them reasons to. So the fact that he's complaining about this, even though he's really benefiting from how things are laid out, it seems a little weird.
Next one, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Concussions or nah?
Yes. Absolutely. They both look like they had concussions to me. When Steph Curry went down, he got up and he was woozy. He couldn't find his balance. I mean, it may not have been a severe concussion, but he had a concussion. Klay Thompson also had a concussion. He was bleeding from his ear. He was throwing up that night. Both these guys went back into the game. I got to give credit to my buddy Justin on this one. He said that the NBA is using the same concussion protocol that they used for Billy Bob on Varsity Blues.
I don't know if Steph Curry really does have a concussion. I mean, he definitely did look woozy when he came back. But the fact that the team has admitted that Klay Thompson has a concussion and they haven't come out and said Steph Curry has a concussion makes me think that they're at least being consistent on that. So they probably should have pulled both of them from those games to make sure. But by the fact that Steph Curry still hasn't been revealed to have a concussion tells me he doesn't have one.
I disagree. I've had a few and I know a concussion when I see one. Both those guys were concussed.
Medical expert Steve Gross on the case.
SEC increased the fine for rushing the field. What kind of effect will this have?
Absolutely none.
Yep.
The fans don't care. It's the schools that will end up paying the fines.
Yeah, absolutely. The fans don't care at all. What are the schools going to do to prevent this? Short of putting guys on horseback with machine guns in front of the crowd, I mean, there's not really much they could do.
We're talking about the SEC here. Yeah. They'd need roughly one security guard per fan to prevent them from rushing the field.
And it's not like 50 grand is going to be a deterrent to the SEC. The SEC is distributing $455 million of revenue between 14 schools this year. That's just this year, $455 million. In 1980, the revenue was $4.1 million. So the revenue has increased 10,000% in the last 35 years. I don't think 50 grand is going to do anything.
Why does the SEC care? We were talking about this a while ago. This is one of the most exciting parts of sports is when they rush the field. And so far, there haven't really been any significant injuries from it. I say just let it go.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher. No idea.
All right, last quick hit. Will Dwayne Wade stay on the Heat?
I think he will. I don't know. He just has such a legacy there. I don't see why he would leave. maybe to win another championship, maybe for more money.
He wants more money is the reason they're talking about leaving. And it's pretty hypocritical on the part of the Heat and Pat Riley because, you know, he's expecting loyalty from these guys, but then he doesn't return it when they're over the hill. So now Dwayne Wade isn't the same player he used to be, although he's still very good. And Dwayne Wade has never been the highest paid player on the Heat throughout his entire career, which is insane because he's been one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic player in the team's history. So now Pat Riley needs to put his money where his mouth is and pay up because he is really disrespecting Dwayne Wade, who I hate, but he is really disrespecting him, and that bugs me for some reason.
I like Dwayne Wade. I like the way he plays, but you're right about this because Dwayne Wade took significantly less money in his contract when they were trying to re-sign LeBron when LeBron took off. It's time for him to get paid. It is. You're right about that. So that wraps up quick hits. Right now we're going to move on to the NHL, the NHL Finals. Let's start with the team that we know is going to be in the Finals. It's Saturday morning right now, so we don't know if the Blackhawks or the Ducks are going to be in the Finals, but we do know Tampa Bay is going to be in the Finals. I think they look dangerous.
Yeah, I have to agree. Anytime a team can go into Madison Square Garden and take on the Rangers in Game 7 where they're almost unbeatable and win, that is just impressive. And now they're in the Finals. They've shown clearly throughout these playoffs that they are worthy of being there. And their biggest test was winning that Game 7 at Madison Square Garden.
I don't know about their goalie, Ben Bishop. I have questions about him. He did pitch a shutout in Game 7. But in the first six games of that series, he gave up 21 goals. His consistency has not been there. I have big questions about him. But Tampa Bay's pretty fast. They can score. They have Tyler Johnson, who's been blowing away everyone in the playoffs. He had a pretty good regular season, but he has 12 goals in 20 games in the postseason. And Steven Stamkos, who is second in the NHL in goals this year behind Ovechkin.
Look, obviously having a good and consistent goalie is important, mm-hmm. but it is not all important. Both of the other teams that might make it to the finals have clearly shown that you don't always need a consistent goalie to have sustained success. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. Corey Crawford, I love him. When he's on, he is great, but he is off pretty often. And the Blackhawks have still had sustained success while he's been their number one goalie, including winning a Stanley Cup and making a bunch of conference finals appearances.
It seems like he's been more inconsistent this year than he has been in past years, and the Blackhawks have had to overcome him at points. Patrick Kane has been a huge help in that. He has 10 goals in the postseason. Tyler Johnson of the Lightning, who I just mentioned, is leading the postseason with 12 goals. Patrick Kane's right behind him with 10, and he's played four fewer games than Tyler Johnson has. So he's been on fire. With firepower like that, you can overcome having an inconsistent goalie.
Right, and Patrick Kane is so clutch, too. I think the stat is in 14 elimination games, he has 17 points.
Yeah, that's the definition of clutch. I don't know. I don't know which of these teams is a better matchup for Tampa Bay, but I don't know who's going to win the Stanley Cup Finals. I have no clue.
No, it's going to be insane.
That's all the time we have for this segment. When we come back, we're going to be talking NBA Finals, Cavs, Warriors, who's it going to be, and sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. We're going to be talking about the NBA Finals, and of course, later on, we've got Sports Madness. But first, we got the NBA Finals. Steve, who do you like?
I gotta go with Cleveland. I know it's a little controversial. A lot of people are on the Golden State bandwagon. I was on the Golden State bandwagon. But I just think that having so much time off for Cleveland is going to be really beneficial. LeBron James has been running on empty. Kyrie Irving is really going to benefit from a week off for that tendonitis in his knee. He's been playing with the foot injury for a while, so I don't think that's bothering him as much as the knee. So I think the time off is really going to be beneficial for those two guys, and I think Cleveland is going to take this.
I'm sorry, man. You're just wrong on this one, because Golden State, they only played five, so they've got plenty of time off, too. Now, Klay Thompson, I think, is the big X factor here versus Kyrie Irving on the other side. If both of those guys are playing and both of them are playing well, then I definitely have to go with Golden State. I think they're the better team. They're the deeper team. Now, Cleveland has surprised me this postseason by some of their role players really turning it up and playing well when they needed it the most. But I have to think that a lot of that is just they're playing subpar teams, including the Bulls, who really aren't a subpar team, but their whole was less than the sum of its parts. They really were underwhelming in the playoffs. A lot of their players that they were counting on did not deliver, especially in that awful abomination of a last game. So I got to go with Golden State, because I think that once Cleveland is stacked up against a team that is really good and really deep, they're going to show their true colors, and their role players will revert back to being role players.
All right, I have two comments. One, you kind of made my point for me with the role players thing. Tristan Thompson has been unbelievable. He's averaging something like 4 offensive rebounds a game, which is awesome. The reason for that is teams are so worried about LeBron James that they're double teaming him. They're always watching where LeBron is, leaves Tristan Thompson available to go grab offensive rebounds. Also, Matthew Dellavedova. I love this kid. I love his attitude. He reminds me of playing sports growing up. I was never the most athletic person in the field, so I had to find other ways to do it. And I love watching him. I love his style.
I hate Dellavedova, but I have to agree with you. I mean, like, to me, he's like Joakim Noah, and he's one of those players that you love when he's on your team, and you hate him when you have to play against him.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. My second point is, you said Cleveland has played subpar opponents throughout the postseason. Golden State got to the finals without playing San Antonio. They didn't play the Clippers. You know, they kind of had a walk in the park, too. They played Memphis with a banged-up Mike Conley. They played Houston, who I don't know how they even got to where they were. They were not that good a team. So the subpar opponent thing, I don't really think is a good argument. I think the Cavaliers are going to be tough to beat. And if you're gambling on this, they're at 2-1 odds right now to win it. Go bet on Cleveland.
I got to agree with you on the gambling thing. Those are crazy odds considering... I think these teams match up well together. I think that this series is going to go deep. The fact that Golden State gets Game 7 at home and gets to start at home, I think, will be the deciding factor in this series. But I think that Golden State wins in 6 or 7.
Yeah, and if Steph Curry finds his jumper again, he wasn't so great in the last couple of games, he's going to be hard to stop. There's really no way to stop Steph Curry. I think that's a big factor, and then Draymond Green down low. We'll see what happens with him matching up against Tristan Thompson. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you reminded me of a quote I saw from LeBron James. He was asked how you stop Steph Curry, and he goes, "How do you stop Steph Curry? The same way you stop me. You don't."
That's exactly true. You can't stop either of them. And now, the moment we've all been waiting for, Sports Madness.
Sports Madness.
Our first story comes to us from Indiana, where this guy named David Lee Wilson was arrested for assaulting his fiance. Apparently, he choked her with both hands because she said she preferred IndyCar over NASCAR.
Now, first of all, why is it that anytime anyone does some old crazy shit, they get their middle name thrown in there? What is that? Or do they just go by their full name, including middle name, and every crazy person just does that? Sorry if you do that and you're not crazy.
I think it's just a standard redneck thing. David Lee Wilson, yep.
Moving on. The Golden State Warriors handed out before Game 4 a media advisory which says, "The Golden State Warriors will return to Oakland tomorrow following their 4-0 series sweep of the Houston Rockets." And then they lost.
I don't know why this happens so often. It seems like every year there's a full page ad in the newspaper or something like that congratulating a team on their championship, and they just haven't won it yet. I don't know. Why does this happen so often? Mind-boggling.
Yeah, and it's really stupid, too, because how good do you look when you actually call a 4-0 sweep or, you know, call something like that before the fact? It's just like, whatever, that's kind of cocky, but they were right. Whereas when you do it and you're wrong, you look so bad.
Do you think that's what it was? Do you think they're trying to say it's going to happen? Or do you think that somebody just got it wrong and it was an oversight?
No, there's no way this is an oversight. They printed this out before the fucking game happened.
It kind of happens a lot. All right, well, you might be right. So our last story takes us back to baseball. There was a study done about which team has the most insufferable fans in baseball. And that was the word they used, insufferable. So number one on this list... who do you guys think it is? I want guesses from both of you guys. Matt, you go first.
I got to go with the Cardinals. I know I'm biased, but I can't stand them. They call themselves the best fans in baseball. I mean, that's pretty insufferable right there.
Johnny, what do you think?
My guess would be the Phillies, and I'm basing this off of experience. I went to a school out on the East Coast, Long Island, called Hofstra University, and we had some Phillies people out there, some people from Philadelphia, and I noticed a couple of things. First off, when you meet them, in regular crowds and any kind of normal interaction, you'll get your spread of people. You'll get different personality types. But there's something about these Phillies fans. When they gather together and they congregate and they reach a certain critical mass, the asshole douche nozzle part of it just comes out and reveals itself. Douche nozzle, that's a technical term. Okay? Phillies fans are ravenous. What does the study say?
All Philadelphia fans are ravenous. Before I looked at the answer, I thought it was going to be, well, my initial reaction was Red Sox, but I'm a Yankees fan, so I kind of scaled that one back because I think I'm just biased. And I think it might be the Yankees, because Yankees fans, on the most part, are, like you said about the Phillies fans, assholes. Yeah. Yankees fans are largely assholes, and they're everywhere. So I think that played a big part in it. So looking at the results, Phillies were number 5, Johnny. So you're pretty close. Cardinals were number 1.
Yeah! I knew it! Yes!
Most insufferable fans in baseball, apparently St. Louis Cardinals, which is surprising to me, but I guess I don't really live in the NL Central-centric world that you do. So, yeah, that makes sense. And then the Yankees and Red Sox were numbers 2 and 3. So we all picked top 5 teams.
All right.
All right, yeah.
Good work, guys.
Out of curiosity, where'd the Cubs come in?
6.
All right, I can live with that.
Yeah, if this was just based on this year's rankings, the Cubs fans would be number 1. You guys are ridiculous.
I got nothing. They're taking 90, though. Gonna shave your fucking head.
Yeah, if we can get you a step stool to reach my head.
Maybe there will be some hair left there for me to do it.
That was a short joke. Matt Axelrod is a short human being.
And Steve's a...
Partially. All right, that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Appeal. Find us on Twitter at The Sports Appeal. Subscribe on iTunes. Taking us out this week is going to be a summer jam by the band Full Service. It's called Rossful Heights.
Ooh, Rastafari. Ooh, Rastafari. Up the branch, up the tree, but I a root just seem. You say I'm wild, I say just lie. Don't be no bitch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, we'll be right back.
a tight group.
Hazard Audio.